Acts chapter 23. I'm taking the title for the message from the good news the Lord gives the Apostle Paul as he's so hated and so abused and so treated so poorly. The night following verse 11, Acts 23, the Lord stood by him. And he said, Paul, be of good cheer. For as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also at Rome. Just as God said it would come to pass. Will Paul end up in Rome? He's in prison now. He's a prisoner of the Roman soldiers. Will he end up in Rome? Will he preach the gospel there in Rome? Yes, because God said so. God said so. Now I'm taking the title then from what the Lord says to this beloved apostle, servant of the Lord, be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. Remember the words of the Lord to his apostles that we read a moment ago in John 16. Verse 33, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. Now that's where we have peace. We have peace with God in Christ. In the world, don't expect peace. In this world, you're going to have tribulation, but be of good cheer. Same Lord, same message. Be of good cheer. I have overcome. I have overcome sin, put it away. I've overcome death. I'm he that liveth and shall die no more. I'm he that was dead. Behold, I'm alive forevermore. The Lord liveth. We have good news in the gospel. I've overcome sin, death, hell, and the grave. That's good news. And because he's won the victory, thanks be to God who's given us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord stood by him. Everything's okay. The Lord stood by him, and the Lord stood with him, and the Lord stood for him. What an encouraging word from the throne of God to a weary sinner in need of mercy. Paul was shut up in prison, but you know what? The Lord wasn't shut out of prison, was he? How did the Lord Jesus Christ, the risen God-man mediator, how did he get inside that prison cell? Doors, bars are no obstacle for the God of all glory. He simply took the door off the hinge and walked in. He has access to all things because he's the Almighty God. He had free access. We read in Scripture where the Lord said, I'll never leave thee, I'll never forsake thee. And Lord, he said, lo, I am with you always. Now, if we go back and look at what had happened to the Apostle Paul, he'd only been in Jerusalem for 12 days. We read in Acts 24, verse 11, when he's before the governor Felix, he said, I've only been in Jerusalem for 12 days. All these things they accuse me of, there's no way that's going to happen in 12 days. But those 12 days that he spent there in Jerusalem, beginning on the first day, he was full of trouble from those religious Jews in Jerusalem, the troubles that were ordained of God. In this world you shall have tribulation. Paul had been persuaded into going into the temple with those four men to offer an animal sacrifice, and he went along with that until God stopped him. In the later part of chapter 23, we find there's 40 men, I believe it is, 40 men who bound themselves with an oath that they would not eat or drink anything till they had killed the Apostle Paul. This man was in trouble all the time. While he was in the temple going about to accomplish those days of purification according to the law, the Jews recognized Paul as one who preached salvation by the grace of God alone through the Lord Jesus Christ alone. You remember what happened to him? They went about to beat him to death. Look back in chapter 21, Verse 30, and all the city was moved, and the people ran together, and they took Paul and drew him out of the temple, for with the day the doors were shut, and as they went about to kill him, tidings came to the chief captain that there was an uproar in Jerusalem, who immediately took soldiers and centurion and ran down unto them. And when they saw the chief captain and the soldiers, they left beating of Paul. They were determined to beat him to death. This man been in Jerusalem 12 days. Every day he had trouble. Then he's rescued by the Roman army from the Jews, bound with a chain, and brought into the castle. And remember what Lysia the captain said, we're going to beat the truth out of you. They tied him up and went about to scourge him, to examine him by scourging. And then Paul said, you better wait a minute. I'm a Roman citizen. And when they found out he was a Roman citizen, they didn't lay a hand on him, but rather protected him. And then we find that Paul was given an opportunity to preach the gospel to the crowd there in Acts 22. And when they heard the testimony of the gospel from the lips of the apostle Paul, the Jews were enraged again and sought opportunity to kill him. You remember back in Acts 22, verse 22. And they gave him audience when they heard that God had sent the gospel to the Gentiles. They gave him an audience, verse 22. They lifted up their voice and said, away with such a fellow from the earth. It is not fit that this man should even live one more day. 12 days the apostle Paul was in Jerusalem, and 12 days he had nothing but trouble. In this world you shall have tribulation. Again, Paul is brought back into the castle after the chief captain finds that he's a Roman citizen. Now we find him being arraigned before the Jewish council of Sanhedrin, of which one time some men think there were 70 men, Pharisees and Sadducees, that made up this council. And some of the writers think that the Apostle Paul, or Saul of Tarsus, at one time was part of that Sanhedrin council. They knew him. The Apostle Paul knew this man. He knew this man, Ananias, was the high priest. Paul knew that because he was one of them. He was a Pharisee of Pharisees. Now, in verse 1 down to verse 9, we see Paul before this council. Let's read verse 1 and following. And Paul, Acts 23:1, earnestly beholding the council. You know, you remember what he writes in Romans 9 and Romans 10? I have a continual burden and heaviness in my heart for Israel because they're most religious and lost. He earnestly wants these people to know the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, because knowing the gospel is salvation. Earnestly beholding the council, said, men and brethren, I've lived in all good conscience before God unto this day. When he was Saul of Tarsus, he did everything according to his conscience told him to do, according to the deeds of the law. And when he was converted and made into the Apostle Paul, he said, I serve God in my conscience, purged by the blood of Christ. I've lived in all good conscience before God unto this day. And when the high priest, Ananias, heard that, commanded them to smite Paul upon the mouth. And Paul said, and what he says here, as the servant of God speaking with the authority of God, the apostle Paul said, God's going to smite you. You think you're going to beat up on me? God's going to have you. And he did. Thou whitest wall, you're a whited wall, you're a hypocrite, for you sit and judge me according to the law, and you command me to be smitten contrary to the law. And they that stood by said, oh, you speak to God's high priest so? And Paul said, brethren, I knew not that this was God's high priest. He recognized this man, but he didn't recognize his office. Because the Apostle Paul had one high priest, great high priest. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. Thou shalt not speak evil of that man. And Paul perceived, verse 6, one part with Pharisees and one part Sadducees. Now, this council here is the same council that condemned the Lord Jesus Christ to be crucified. It's the same council that commanded Peter and John never to preach the gospel again. If you look back in Acts chapter 4, when Peter and John had healed that man that was crippled and declared that salvation is of the Lord, neither is there salvation in any other than the Lord Jesus Christ. It says in Acts chapter 4, verse 18, and they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in his name. Not only that, this same council is the same council. Look over in chapter 5. Verse 40, they agreed when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. They departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple, in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's the same council that told Peter and John not to preach again. It's the same council who had Peter and John beaten. It's the same council that also condemned the Lord Jesus Christ. The same council that condemned the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, Paul has to defend himself before these self-righteous, self-serving Jews. He said, I've lived before men and God, God and men, with a conscience purged. Now, Paul is not saying that he's not a sinner. That would be contrary to what he says in other places. That would be contrary to the gospel testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ concerning how he saves sinners. By nature, we have a guilty conscience, or we should have. By nature, we have an evil conscience. As Paul said, oh, wretched man that I am. He called himself the chief of sinners. But what he's saying here before God, his conscience has been purged by the blood of Christ, that he stands before God justified by the grace of God in the Lord Jesus Christ. His conscience had been purged. Now, let's see if we can read that in Scripture. If you'll find over here in the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, turn over there. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 17 says, Hebrews 10, 17, their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. Now, where remission of these is, there's no more offering for sin. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest, into the presence of God by the blood of Jesus, the Lord Jesus, crucified by a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, having a high priest over the house of God. We do have a high priest. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our heart sprinkled from an evil conscience, sprinkled with what? The blood of Jesus Christ, and our bodies washed with pure water, the water of the word, the gospel. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that has promised. Every believer's conscience has been purged by the blood atonement of Christ because he put away our sin. Look at verse 2. The immediate response of the high priest was to have Paul smitten on the mouth. Now, you know, they did the same thing to the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn back to John 18. John 18, 19. This same crowd, this same council, this crowd that said, away with him, crucify him, we have no king but Caesar. In John 18, verse 19. The high priest then asked Jesus of his disciples and his doctrine, and the Lord said, John 18:20, I spake openly to the world. I ever taught in the synagogue and in the temple, whether the Jews always resort, and in secret I've said nothing. Why ask thou me? Ask them which heard me. what I've said unto them. Behold, they know what I've said. And when he had thus spoken, one of the officers which stood by struck Jesus with the palm of his hand, saying, Answerest thou the high priest so? And the Lord said, If I've spoken evil, bear witness. If I've spoken evil, you bear witness of the evil. But if well, why do you smite me? Because I tell you the truth. It's the same religious, God-hating crowd that commanded Paul to be smitten. It's the same crowd that commanded the Lord Jesus Christ to be smitten. Look at verse 3. The apostle, with the authority of God, said to the high priest, You're a hypocrite. You sit to judge me after the law, and you smite me on the mouth contrary to the law. Now, where does this come from? Turn over here to Matthew 23. Matthew 23. Our Lord said, and this is where Paul gets that saying, in Matthew 23, verse 25, Woe unto you scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites! He's speaking to the same religious crowd. You make clean the outside of the cup, Matthew 23:25, and the platter, but within you're full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which was in the cup and platter, that the outward may also be clean. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you like a whited sepulchre, that's a gravestone, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones. Even so, outwardly you appear righteous unto men, but within you're full of hypocrisy and all manner of evil. Now, notice what the Apostle Paul says to him. Paul said, You're a whited wall, and then he says, God's going to judge you. Now, what do you think Ananias thought of Paul saying, God's going to smite you? I'm sure he just basically probably laughed at him, don't you think? Well, who are you to think God's going to smite me? Here's bold words from the Apostle Paul, from a man who was sent of God with the authority of God, who spoke the truth of God. God will smite you. Now, I've read this, and I read it again, just to make sure. 5 years later, after this was spoken, this man, Ananias, was stabbed to death by the Roman army when they came and attacked Jerusalem. God shall smite thee. Just as Paul said it would happen, it did happen. Now, verse 4 and 5, And they stood by said, Revilest thou God's high priest? And Paul said, Oh, I think he speaks this in sarcasm. I knew not, brethren, that he was the high priest. For it's written, You do not speak evil of the ruler of the people. I think Paul, they give him a warning to treat the high priest with respect and reverence. I think Paul answers here in way of sarcasm, If you were really God's high priest, I would respect you. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ is the only high priest of God who has made this man's office null and void by the fulfillment of the Lord Jesus Christ as the anointed high priest of God. All through the book of Hebrews, it talks about seeing we have a great high priest. Consider the Lord Jesus Christ, who is our great high priest, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and he seated at the right hand of God. We need not any earthly man acting as a high priest for us today. We don't need an earthly mediator, an advocate, or an intercessor. There's one God, one mediator between God and men, and that is the God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our great high priest. He's able to save them to the uttermost that come to God by Him, seeing He ever liveth to make intercession for us, seeing we have a great high priest who cannot be touched, who is touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but yet He cannot sin. He's without sin. Such a high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, and separate from sin, says in Hebrews chapter 7. We have a great high priest. We don't pay any respect to any man to be a priest for us or to make intercession for us. We look to the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, He's made us unto Him kings and priests unto our God. Now, look at the next thing that happens here. Verse 6 down through verse 9. The Apostle Paul, knowing what the Sadducees believed, and knowing what the Pharisees believed, he cried out in the council, "Men and brethren, I'm a Pharisee, former Pharisee. I'm the son of a Pharisee. And of the hope of the resurrection of the dead, I'm called in question." Now, what he preached was salvation by the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, whoever lives to intercede for us. And when he had said so said, then arose a dissension between, an argument between the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and they were divided. Paul was in the middle. God gave him some wisdom here to start a fight between those two factions. The Sadducees say there is no resurrection, there's no angel, there's no angels, there's no spirit. The Pharisees confess both. And there arose a great cry, and the scribes that were of the Pharisees' part arose and strove, saying, "We find no evil in this man. But if a spirit or an angel has spoken unto him, let us not fight against God." And when there arose a great argument, the chief captain, fearing lest Paul should have been pulled in pieces of them, commanded the soldiers to go down and take him by force from them, among them, and to bring him back into the castle. The Apostle Paul was given God-given wisdom to divide the council against itself over the doctrine of the resurrection from the dead. He knew that the Pharisees and Sadducees were enemies. The only time they got together was when they got together to say, "Crucify the Lord Jesus Christ." They were enemies. They hated each other. He was one of those Pharisees when he was a lost religious man known as Saul of Tarsus. While the Pharisees did believe in the resurrection from the dead and the immortality of the soul, the Sadducees denied both. Now, if you turn just one page, the Apostle Paul is going to bring this up again in Acts 24, verse 14. "But this I confess unto thee." This is when he's before Felix the governor, I believe it is. "This I confess unto thee, that after the way which they call heresy, so I worship the God of my fathers, believing all things that are written in the law and the prophets, and have hope toward God, which they themselves also allow, that there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust." All men everywhere. There's going to be a resurrection to glory of those who are justified by the blood atonement of Jesus Christ. Let's see if we can read that in the book of Romans. Turn over there. How are we going to be justified and raised? There is going to be a resurrection of the just. How are we justified? We'll see if we can find out. Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. Verse 23 says, "All have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in the Lord Jesus Christ." That's how sinners are justified. Now, right in the book of Romans here, turn to Romans chapter 4. Look at verse 25. There's going to be a resurrection of the just, that is, those who are justified in Christ, and those who are unjust. Romans 4:25, who was delivered, the Lord Jesus Christ was delivered, he was raised from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses, raised again for our justification. Because he lives, we shall live. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, right here in Romans chapter 5, look at verse 8. God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified, we shall be saved from wrath through him. There's going to be a resurrection of the just and of the unjust. I want you to turn and read this with me. Turn back to the Gospel of John chapter 5. John chapter 5, and notice this. Our Lord said the same thing. John chapter 5, verse 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, John 5:24, and believeth on him that sent me, hath everlasting life, shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. John 5:25. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Son of God, Son of Man, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice, and they shall come forth, they that have done good, unto the resurrection of life. How is a sinner said to do something good? By believing the gospel. Unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil. There's nothing more evil than not to believe God. They that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. I seek his will, not my will. Thy will be done. Now, back to the story here. In verse 9, there arose a great cry and a division between the Pharisees and scribes. And the Pharisees said, we find no evil in this man, but if a spirit or an angel has spoken unto him, let us not fight against God. Now, we've seen this statement before. Turn back to Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5. You remember who Saul of Tarsus, who his teacher was? Gamaliel. You remember? He's taught according to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers. This man Gamaliel says the same thing over here. It's found in Acts chapter 5, verse 38, when Peter and John were brought before this council. Here's what he said. This is Gamaliel. And now I say unto you, refrain from these men and let them alone, for if this counsel or work be of men, it'll come to naught. But if it be of God, you cannot overthrow it, lest you fight against God. If you look back at verse 34, Acts 5:34, and there stood up one of the council, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a doctor of the law, had in reputation of all the people, commanded to put the apostles forth a little space. And they said, if this thing be of God, you cannot overthrow it, lest you fight against God. Probably the same man. Probably the same man that said, let us not fight. If God's spoken to him, or if an angel has spoken to him, or if the Holy Spirit has appeared to him, let's not fight against God. That's pretty good advice. That's good advice. That's godly advice. Surrender unto God. Submit to the will of God. Well, there again rose a great turmoil. Paul is pulled one way and pulled the other way. He has to be rescued again and brought into the castle. Now, why did they? Why did they hate this man so? I think, why did they hate him so? They hated the gospel message he preached. Salvation by the Lord Jesus Christ alone. Salvation by faith alone. It's not so much that they were directed their hatred toward Paul. It was the God that Paul had preached. That's what they were angry over. Now look at verse 11. The nights following, the Lord stood by him and said, "Be of good cheer. Be of good cheer." When all had forsook him, when the Jews so hated him, the Lord loved him, and the Lord stood with him. You can shut Paul up in prison, but you cannot shut God out of prison, or you cannot shut God away from his people. Walls and bars, concrete, reinforcement bars are no obstacle to God Almighty. He just simply removes the door and walks in. He invites himself in. Oftentimes, preachers, false preachers, like to picture God trying to knock on the sinner's heart, on the sinner's door, but they won't let him in. That's not the God of Scripture. God opens the door and invites himself in and makes his people willing in the day of his power. Better to be in prison with the Lord than to dwell in the tents of the wicked, is it not? When Paul and Silas were beaten there in Philippi, after they preached the gospel to Lydia, God opened her heart. The Jews again got mad and beat him and Silas and put him in jail. And at midnight, what were they doing? Praying and singing unto the Lord. And they preached the gospel to a jailer in his house who was converted. The Lord stood with him. Here's the point. The Lord always has stood for his covenant sheep, his covenant people, in the eternal covenant of grace as our surety, as our sacrifice. He's the Lamb slain that stood for us from all eternity. Before Adam ever sinned, before we were ever born, the Lord Jesus Christ has always stood up for us as our sacrifice, as our righteousness before God. Since God in Christ is for us in the eternal covenant, since God in Christ is for us, making full atonement for our sin, what does it matter who is against us? Paul wrote this in Romans 8, if God be for us, who can be against us? No one. Be of good cheer, Paul. I am with thee. Now, be of good cheer. I want you to turn and read with me. This is said before, not only to those apostles on the eve of the crucifixion, but in Matthew chapter 9. You remember the impotent man who couldn't even walk, who had some friends who brought him to where the Lord was, and they tore off the roof, remember, and lowered that paralyzed man down on that couch. Matthew 9, verse 2, and behold, they brought him, the sick man of palsy, lying on his bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, "Son, be of good cheer. Thy sins be forgiven." Same Lord, same message. Be of good cheer. Thy sins are forgiven. This is our gospel message. With the Lord Jesus Christ, there is the forgiveness of sin. Be of good cheer. Can God forgive a sinner like me? Absolutely. He came to seek and to save folks just like you, sinners. He appeared once in the end of the age to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. There is atonement for our sin in the Lord Jesus Christ. Be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. There is a righteousness to be received. He is the Lord, our righteousness. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord would impute righteousness without works. Be of good cheer. There is salvation by the pure and free and sovereign grace of God. Neither is there salvation in any other. This was spoken also to the Apostle Paul in Acts 27 when the ship was breaking apart and men were drowning or fearful of perishing in the sea. And the Lord stood by him and said, Paul, be of good cheer. Not one soul will be lost. Be of good cheer. Paul said to those men, be of good cheer. I believe God. I believe God. Be of good cheer. The gospel ministry shall continue. As he says there to the Apostle Paul, as thou hast testified of me in Rome, in Jerusalem, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. So must you also preach the gospel there at Rome. I will send you to preach the gospel. The ministry is not over, Paul. It reminds me of what the Lord said to the Apostle Paul when he was in Corinth. Remember in Acts chapter 18, when they hated him and persecuted him there. And the Lord said to him, don't leave the city. I've got much people in the city. And he stayed there 18 months preaching the gospel. Be of good cheer. Our Lord Jesus Christ is the sovereign God of all providence. No power on earth, no army or demons of hell, not even a Roman army, can stop the purpose of God. His will be done in spreading the gospel in all the world. Matter of fact, God used this Roman army, this Roman government, to put the Apostle Paul in Rome to preach the gospel there, and he did so for 2 years. God arranged all this. It has pleased God to ordain the preaching of the gospel, the calling out his elect. You remember over here in Acts 13, turn over there. Acts 13:48. When the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believed the gospel. Acts 13:48. When the last of God's elect will be called out and joined with Christ, then the end will come. When is this world going to end? I tell you exactly when it's going to end. Listen to this scripture. And this gospel, our Lord says, shall be the gospel of the kingdom of God, the grace of God, the glory of God, shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. Then cometh the end. When we started doing the sermon audio ministry, sending the gospel out on the internet, and I would send that monthly report to Pastor Mahan showing him how many sermons went out of here. Usually 5,000 or 6,000 sermons a month went out of here all over the world. And he would usually write back to me and reference Matthew 24:14. Reminding me the gospel shall be preached in all the world. And then the end is coming. And that's so. And that's so. We as believers have every reason to be of good cheer. Our sin's been put away. He's given us an everlasting righteousness. He's given us eternal life in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us, by His grace, keep looking to our Lord Jesus Christ and find that His word is true. His promises shall never fail. His grace is always sufficient. His mercy is everlasting. His salvation is complete and finished. His love shall endure. Nothing shall separate us from the love of God, which is in the Lord Jesus Christ, and His presence is always with us. He said, where two or three are gathered in my name, I'm in your midst. Is the Lord here today? Absolutely. I believe that. Is He meeting with us today? Absolutely. I believe that. We've gathered in His name.